Thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we ask a special prayer for Denise Pato today and all the kids who are going to junior church. Father, may you bless them. May they be encouraged. May the teaching be wonderful. May it be truthful. Father, those stories from the Bible are so important to their lives for the foundation that we're trying to build. So, Father, we ask for a special blessing for them. We ask a blessing for us as we continue on with this sermon series on the war for the soul. Father, may this be encouraging. May it be uplifting. And, Father, may it always be truthful. And, Father, may we not only be hearers of your precious word, but, Father, may we always be doers. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, this morning we are going to continue in a sermon series on spiritual warfare that I started a few weeks ago. And I've titled the series, War for the Soul. War for the Soul. Now, let me remind you why this series matters. Why we're spending time talking about spiritual warfare. And why you need to lean in with both ears and an open heart. It's because whether you feel like it or not, whether you recognize it or not, you're in a war. And you better open your eyes to that. You are in a real war, a spiritual war. And friends, this isn't just about you being a better person, or it's not about you just avoiding sin here and there. It's not about checking the church box on Sunday. Not about you occasionally reading your Bible verse for encouragement. No, this is something far deeper and far more serious. You see, you and I are in a relentless daily battle for our souls. And friends, this isn't just a skirmish. This is an all-out war. It's a war for your heart. The very core of who you are. It's a war for your mind, shaping what you think, what you believe, and what you allow to take root in your thoughts. It's a war for your marriage, your love, your unity, and your faithfulness. It's a war for your children, their values, the things that they're being exposed to, and the legacy that they'll carry on in the future. It's a war for your church. The strength of our unity, the clarity of our witness, and the faithfulness to our calling. It's a war for your purpose. What has God destined you to fulfill, and what the enemy seeks to steal, distort, or destroy? And ultimately, this is a war for your eternity, the very destination of your soul. And friends, let me make this as clear as I can. There is no neutral ground in this battle.
Amen.
You can't be Switzerland. You can't. There's no neutral ground here. Every decision, every thought, every action, every day is a battleground. And the stakes are eternal. And every moment matters. And here's the thing about this war. It's being waged in the unseen. And the consequences of our choices echo far beyond what we can see with our eyes, what we can immediately perceive. We are in a fight for our very lives, and we must never underestimate the cost of surrender. Because let me tell you something about our enemy. Let me tell you something about Satan. He is not passive. How many of you think Satan takes the day off on Sunday? Raise your hand. He never takes the day off. How many of you think he gets tired and he goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night? He never gets tired. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Notice it doesn't say, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to inconvenience, someone to irritate. No, it says, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And that's why you and I must be alert. That's why you and I must be equipped. That's why you and I must be grounded in this, grounded in the truth. And that's why you and I must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've been with us from the very start of this series, you know where we've been. In the first message, we opened our eyes to the reality of the spiritual war that is raging all around us. In the second message, we opened up the enemy's playbook. We looked at his tactics. We talked about his lies. And we talked about the schemes that he uses against God's people. And if you were with us last week, we looked at how Satan uses the world. And when I say the world, I'm talking about its system, its temptations, and its distractions to seduce and to weaken the church. Well, today we're going to shift our focus to perhaps the most personal and pertinent battlefield of all, the mind. And that's because it's the mind where much of this war is going to be won or lost. Not out there in the community, here. This is where the war is. The battle for your thoughts, the battle for your beliefs, the battle for your perspective, and the battle for your inner life. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible today, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, Legacy Standard Bible. The Apostle Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Let me repeat that. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That's important for us to understand right there. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the tearing down of strongholds, as we tear down speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And here, and take every thought captive. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Friends, this isn't just poetic language. This is a call to spiritual arms. That's what this is. The Apostle Paul is describing a battle not just against people or ideas, but against the very mindset that seeks to elevate itself above the truth of God. We're talking about arguments. We're talking about strongholds. We're talking about lofty opinions that defy God's word. And trust me, Satan wields this battle with a precision that is both devastating and destructive. Satan knows how to plant a thought. Can I say that? He knows how to plant a thought. He knows how to twist the truth just enough to make that lie sound believable. He's been doing it for a very long time. He's gotten very good at it. Remember what he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say that? That's all it took. Why are we where we're at today? Because of that one question. Did God really say that? One question, one thought, and everything is messed up. Everything unraveled. Here's the thing about Satan. Satan doesn't shout. He doesn't shout. Satan whispers. He whispers. He whispers, and he whispers things like, how can I plant a seed of doubt in your life? How can I plant a seed of fear in your life? How can I plant a seed of shame in your life? Let me tell you one thing that I really, really, really try to keep out of a church that I pastor is confusion. Because that's the seed that Satan likes to use the most. If there is confusion in the church, if there is confusion in your family, if there is confusion in your community, if there is confusion in any part of your life, I'm telling you, Satan is involved in that. You need to be very, very careful about that seed of confusion. And you know the problem with those thoughts? They grow into a fortress. They grow into a mental stronghold that enslaves, yes, even believers. I mean, just look around today. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but we're in the midst of a mental health crisis in this country. And let me make this very, very clear. This isn't just a secular problem. This mental health crisis is in the church. How many church members are suffering from anxiety, depression? I know you don't want to hear it. Suicidal thoughts. Despair. How many people today are living in a fog of fear? How many pastors they're burnt out? Pastors are just burning out left and right. How many worship leaders are just walking away from the church? How many congregants are numbing themselves with things like Netflix, social media, alcohol, prescription drugs, busyness? Anything to silence the noise in their heads. Friends, the battlefield of the mind is soaked with casualties. And what's worse is many are suffering in silence because they think to struggle mentally means to be spiritually weak. And friends, that's a lie. That's a lie that comes from the pit of hell. And you have to remember that. And what is the world's solution to this mental health crisis? Therapy. Therapy without truth. How about medication? Medication. Let's give them medication without repentance. Self-care without surrender. Now, let me make this very, 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 very clear. Okay? Very clear. Do not go around saying Ken Sommerfeld is against counseling. Ken Sommerfeld is against medication. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that those things can be incredibly helpful tools, gracious gifts, if they're used correctly, and they're not being used correctly today. That's what I'm saying. We have kids, and I'm sorry I get in trouble for this. We have kids that what they need is a slap on the behind, but instead of giving them a slap on the behind, we go and give them Adderall or we give them something like that. We medicate our kids up because they have a discipline problem, and we have spared the rod. Let's drug them up. It's easier to do that. And we have a bunch of zombies running around. And that's the truth, and it's sad. But there are some people that need to be on medication, no doubt. No doubt. So I am not against that stuff. Friends, let's not miss this. When the root of the problem is spiritual, it cannot be fixed with fleshly means. You cannot medicate away a demonic stronghold. You can't do that. You cannot journal your way out of spiritual bondage. You cannot self-care your soul into freedom. And that's because this isn't just psychological. That is a lie. This is spiritual. And the only spiritual weapon that is going to win a spiritual is going to win a war is a spirit, and win a spiritual war is a spiritual weapon. Let me repeat that. The only way to defeat a spiritual war is with spiritual weapons. I had that back. That's why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. Not about we're just medicating everybody today. And look at what Paul says. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the tearing down of strongholds. In other words, guys, we're not just confronting bad moods or passing emotions. We're tearing down arguments. We're dismantling lies. We have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, we're not just battling stress. We're not. We're tearing down every proud obstacle that sets itself against the knowledge of God. We're not simply just managing our thoughts. You have to take them captive. You have to bring your thoughts into the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's the war we're engaged in. Again, the Apostle Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're divinely powerful. You want to tear down a mental stronghold? Well, you don't need another TED talk in church. You don't need another motivational quote on your Instagram page. You don't need more positive vibes. You don't need breathing techniques. How about you use this? How about you try this? It's amazing what this can do for you. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit. Friends, you need truth that just doesn't inspire. You need a truth that cuts. This cuts through confusion. This cuts through the fog. This cuts through the lies the enemy has built brick by brick in your mind. Because let's be honest. How many believers today are not living by truth, but instead they are living by this? This is what believers are living by, right here. Lies. Lies. Instead of living by this, they are living by that. Lies. Like, I'm not good enough. God doesn't really love me. I'm never going to break free of this addiction. I'm never going to break free of this addiction. My past defines me. How could God love me because of what I did when I was younger? You know what's really sad about abortion, and I'm not getting off topic here. But you know what's so bad about abortion? You know how many Christian women Satan uses he attacks them by saying, how can God love you after you aborted your child? We don't talk about that to people, but man, Satan does. He attacks women who've had an abortion. And women need to be just hugged and just lifted up. It was a terrible mistake that they made. And God forgives them. But they're not forgiving themselves because Satan won't let them. Look at what you did in your past. God didn't love you. Oh, God could never use someone like you. I'm going to tell you a quick story about me. When I became a minister, and this is according to my family, Brad and Paula, one day I lost it, okay? I lost my temper, shouting, screaming, just going crazy. And I was a minister. And Paula made a comment to my youngest son. Son said, it must be Friday. And Brad looked at her and said, yep, must be Friday. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Must be Friday. She said, you lose your temper every Friday. Every Friday, you are running around like an idiot. And you know what? I started to think about it, and they were absolutely right. And then I started to get into the Word of God, and what I found out was that this was a satanic attack that Satan would levy on me every Friday. Because you know what that did to me? When I came to church on Sunday to preach, I would think to myself, well, you shouldn't even be in the pulpit. Man, if your congregation saw the way you acted on Friday, you're not good enough to be a minister. And it affected me. Now, here's the thing about Satan. He still attacks me on Friday. He has not changed. He still thinks it's going to work. So he, and sometimes it does, sadly. But I've gotten a lot better about it because I have captured that thought. And I know how he attacks me now. So when it comes on Friday, I'm like, no, I'm not losing it. Nope. This is attack from Satan, and I have been wise enough through the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit, to recognize that. I'm telling you, Satan knows how to attack you, and he's not going to change. You guys have to be wise enough to figure it out through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, and be wise and capture those thoughts, because I'm telling you, that's what he wants us to. God could never, I'm serious. Every Sunday I would stand behind the pulpit going, God can't use me. Oh, man, I've messed up too much. How many of you ever had driving down the road and every nasty thing that you have ever done in your life just flashes before you? Amen. You're driving down the road and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that to this person. I can't believe I did that to this person. Where do you think that's coming from? Not coming from God. Friends, let me tell you something right now. Those are not your thoughts. Get that in your head right now. Those are not your thoughts. That's not your voice. That is the propaganda of Satan. That, my friends, is a psychological warfare that comes straight from the pit of hell. That's your war. That's the war right there. It's not always demons and darkness in the corner of a room. Sometimes it's a whisper in your mind that sounds like it's your own voice. But it's laced with spiritual poison. And here's the most dangerous part of it. The devil is banking on it that you won't recognize it. Those are your thoughts. He wants those thoughts to be familiar to you. He wants you to claim that as your identity. He wants you to manage your strongholds instead of destroying your strongholds. He wants you to normalize the chains instead of breaking the chains. Friends, Jesus did not die so you could cope with captivity. Jesus died so you could be free. And believe me, freedom doesn't come by ignoring the battle. It comes by engaging the battle with the weapons that God has already placed in your hand. He's given you the Word of God. He's given you prayer. He's given you truth. He's given you worship. He's given you fellowship. He's given you repentance. Are you even using it? Let me tell you something about those six things. They're not just soft answers. That's your spiritual weapons. They carry power, real resurrection power. So let me ask you, what lie has been living in your mind like it owns the place? What thought is squatting there? And it's stealing your peace. It's distorting your identity. It's holding you back from freedom. And more importantly, when are you going to evict it? When are you going to get rid of it? When are you going to kick it out and say you're not wanted here? Because make no mistake about it, that's where the battlefield is. It's in the mind. But the victory, oh, that belongs in Jesus Christ. Oh, when you're in Jesus Christ, you're not just surviving the fight, you're overcoming, you're conquering. You're walking in victory that has already been won. But here's the thing about that victory, it doesn't happen by accident. It takes intentionality. It takes awareness. It takes warfare. So the question is, how do we fight? How do we push back against the lies, the fear, the shame, and those mental strongholds that have held us hostage for way too long? How do we fight back? Well, it says, our scripture reading says, we take every thought captive. Every thought comes into our mind, we take that captive to the obedience of Christ. We do not let them slip in unnoticed. We do not let them build a nest and stay in our minds. We grab hold of those thoughts one by one and we drag them into the light of this, of Christ's authority. We ask this question: is this true or is this a lie? And if it's a lie, we do not entertain it. We do not coddle it. We reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, you might say, but Ken, it feels so true. Let me tell you something about feelings. You can't trust them. Feelings are not facts. Oh, your emotions might shout, I'm worthless. But the cross of Jesus Christ shouts louder and said, no, you're not worthless. You are loved. You are chosen. You have been redeemed and you were worth dying for. That's the truth. You're not worthless. Friends, God did not prove your value by giving you a pat on the back. He proved that you were valuable because of a crown of thorns and a crucifixion. And that's not just a feeling. That's the truth. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came with him with everything. Satan came at him with thoughts. Satan came at him with twisted scripture. Satan came at him with distorted logic. And did you notice Jesus did not debate him? All Jesus said was, "It is written." That ended the argument. Jesus did not entertain Satan's lies. Jesus did not stew on them. Jesus did not sit there and say, Satan could be right about this. You know, he may have a point. No, he fought back with the Word of God. And that's how you and I have to fight this battle of the mind. Not with willpower, because I'm sorry, you don't have enough willpower. You're going against Satan. You don't have enough willpower. You don't have enough positive vibes. Friends, we have to fight back with this. The sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. That's our weapon. Not your intellect. You're not smart enough. Oh, yeah, it may upset you, but you're not. You may think you are, but you're not. You can't fight back with your emotions. Oh, my gosh. You can't trust your emotions. How about my experiences? You can't trust your experiences. You win the war in your mind by flooding it with so much truth that there's no room for a lie to get in there. That's how you do it. You've got to immerse yourself in this. Why do you think for 15 years I have been trying to get you to read your Bible every day? And I hope I am so proud. I really am proud of you, because many of you have done that. And many of you have made it a habit. You want to fill yourself up with so much of this that a lie cannot get in. So let me ask you, what strongholds exist in your mind right now? What arguments have you been believing that don't line up with God's word? How many of you are believing this stuff? This stuff does, if you're a Christian, this does not line up with God's word. I'm telling you that right now. How many of you have allowed fear to build a fortress? How many of you have allowed bitterness to take up residence? How many of you let shame become your identity? You need to tear it down. You need to tear it down. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. You need to take it captive. Hold it up to the light of Jesus Christ and let him declare truth over that lie. But let me warn you, Satan will not stop. He will not stop coming for your mind. He's going to keep pressing. He's going to keep whispering. He's going to keep trying to plant the seeds of fear, doubt, and despair in your life every day. But again, I'm trying to give you some good news. You're not powerless. You're not defenseless. You are not outmatched, because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's a lot more powerful than Satan. Amen. You have been equipped with everything you need to stand firm. Every one of you has a Bible in your house. Don't tell me you don't. You all have the Word of God. You're all clothed in Christ's righteousness if you're saved. You're all secured by the truth. And you're all strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Again, as I have said so many times, you don't fight for victory, you fight from victory. You already have the victory. Because the enemy may attack, but in Christ, you can stand your ground. Let me tell you something. As a minister, I have known people who have walked through some unimaginable darkness. Abuse, alcohol addiction, drug addiction, pornography addiction, loss of loved ones. And I have seen them come out the other side, not because they ignored the pain, but because they fought it with the right weapons. I have seen Christians choose faith over fear in the face of terminal illness. I have seen college students hold the biblical truth while surrounded by mockery and unbelief. And I have seen people confess hidden sin, renounce the lies of the enemy, and I have seen them walk into freedom. And Diane is not walking out because she's mad at me or disagrees with me. I really do enjoy, no, seriously. If you have to leave early, do me a favor and be kind to me and say, I just want to let you know that if I leave while you're preaching, I'm not upset with you. Because I would be like, why is she walking out? Did I just say that? So I always appreciate it when you say, I might be leaving in the middle of your sermon. Yeah. All right, where was I? I totally lost my train of thought now. But no, seriously, I have known people that have renounced the lies of the enemy and they have walked into freedom. Let me tell you about a woman I know. And I'm gonna call her Sarah. Sarah grew up in a home filled with abuse. And when I say abuse, I am not talking about trauma that just leaves bruises on a body. I'm talking about trauma that leaves scars on a soul. Now, for years, this beautiful young lady, she believed the lie that she was damaged beyond repair. She was worthless. No one could really, really love her. That even God must have turned his back on her. But then one day she was sitting in a church service and the word of God pierced through the fog. The pastor quoted 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, what I read today. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And for Sarah, something clicked. A light turned on for her. And she realized that she had been agreeing with Satan's narrative for far too long. So what she did, and I encourage you to do the same thing, she started writing down every lie that came into her head. Even if she was driving down the road and a thought came into her mind that she was worthless or nobody was going to love her, she pulled the car over, she had a journal, and she would write that lie down. And then she would go home and she would go to her Bible and she would find a scripture that spoke the truth. There are books out there for you, not very big books. And the way it works, it'll have a subject, fear. And underneath that subject will be all the Bible verses that tell you not to be fearful. There's other sections of doubt or other sections of unworthiness or Whatever you feel. And I love the book. They're not very big. You can keep them in your purse. You can put it in your pocket. And anytime the thought comes in, a thought like that, you do what Sarah did. You open it up and you look and say, no, 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 I'm a child of God. He loves me. That's what it means to take thoughts captive. But that's what she did. And here's the thing about it. She just didn't read the verses. She claimed those verses. She made those verses her own every day. Every day she would read those verses. And over time, you know what happened? Her thinking started to shift. Her identity began to change. Oh, she still had a lot of healing to walk through, but she wasn't walking as a victim anymore. That's the key. She was walking as a daughter of the King. And friends, that's what the truth does. That's what this Bible does. Does this erase the past? No. But it does redeem it. It does redeem it. It does reclaim what the enemy is trying to steal. And it arms you with the battle ahead.
Amen.
Friends, that can be your story. But you have to fight the battle. You cannot ignore your thoughts and hope they'll just go away. Or they'll just get better. You can't ignore them. They're not going to go away. You have to take every one of those thoughts captive. You have to demolish the strongholds with this. That's how you do it. You got to fight with this. And again, all this stuff I'm talking about is not a metaphor. This is a war. And remember, Jesus Christ has not left you unarmed. So go home today and sharpen your sword. For some of you, the first thing you have to do is go find your sword. Some of you may not even know where your sword is. Can I use you as an example? Okay, is it cool? All right. Jim Stump came into church today, and he was so proud that he brought his Bible in for the first time in, what, 50 years? I'm like, what took you so long to bring your Bible to church? You got to bring your church. You got to bring your Bible in. And that's not slamming him. He just mentioned, he said, I brought my Bible in. You should see, he's handing me all kinds of things he's finding in his Bible. Well, look at this. Did you preached on this before?
It's not dressed too good. It's all ripped up.
But he reads it every day. But today was one of the first days he brought it to church.
First time he's been in church.
Yeah, first time his Bible's ever been in church. Bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to church. Again, most of us now have phones, and I understand that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Bring your phone to church. Bring your Bible to church. Make it a habit to bring it to church. So that's the first thing. Go find your Bible, and then sharpen your Bible. Read it. Read it every day.
Amen.
Every day, read your Bible. Renew your mind. That's how you get rid of that stinking thinking. Declare war on every lie that the enemy has planted. And friends, fight. Fight like you've never fought before, because your soul's at stake.
Amen.
The soul of your children are at stake. The soul of your grandchildren. Boy, there's a war going on, and we better open up to it. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today as soldiers on a battlefield. And Father, I don't know about other people here, but I'm tired. I really am. I'm getting tired of the fight. Father, I don't know if anybody else is here, but I think we all need to confess that many of us, at one time or another, we have allowed lies to come into our minds. Lies about who we are, about who you are, and about our purpose and our future. Oh, Father, we've allowed the enemy to build strongholds where truth should be. But not today. Not today. Father, today we ask you to tear down those strongholds. Father, expose the lies that we have believed. Bring light to every shadow. Father, teach us. Teach us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Father, let us be people of truth, people whose minds are anchored to your precious word. Father, we ask for discernment to recognize the enemy's schemes. We ask for courage to confront the lies in our community. And we ask for strength to keep fighting when we feel tired and overwhelmed. Father, remind us that your spirit lives within us, that your truth is our weapon, and you have already secured the victory through Jesus Christ. So, Father, set us free, not just emotionally, but spiritually, mentally, and eternally. And Father, may we go into this world armed and ready, not as victims, but as warriors of the King.
Amen.
And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Amen.